الحمد لله رب العالمين لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك نبي أمي وعلى آله وسلم الحمد لله الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى has blessed us and gathered us again for another Salatul Jumu'ah. For this is indeed a blessed day in the life of the believers. Because this is that special day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the believers to leave aside all of their worldly pursuits and come together in a jama'ah, in a group setting, so that we may encourage one another to do what is right and discourage one another from doing what is wrong, and that we may be of help and assistance to one another. Amma that. This afternoon I'd like to share with you a continuing saga in my life, and I think in the life of all believers. And it's that mystery of life and events that happen in our life, of the most of which we have no control over. In Quran al-Karim, in Surah Hadid, ayats 21 and 22 are interesting two ayats, because it addresses this continuing saga of events in every human being's life, the believer and the unbeliever. And it says, nothing can happen on earth or in your own self except that it is already written as in a book before we bring it into existence. And that is truly easy for Allah. Then ayah 22 says, so that, interesting transition, so that you may not be in despair or sadness or frustration or hopelessness over the desirable things that pass you by, nor that you may become overjoyed, elated, too excited over the gifts or blessing or favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. For Allah loves not any arrogant person or boastful person. Deep set of ayats. Because the saga that all of us have is that we do have desires. We want things to go, and I'm tempted to use the word right, but in the theological context, that's not a correct word. We want things to go as we desire them to go. And in the midst of whatever it is, the believer makes dua and asks his Lord to bestow upon him or her that which they desire. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us what we desire, and sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us what we desire. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us what we desire, within our nature, how do we respond? The nature of the human being is to what? Be sad, be disappointed, frustrated. Why? We ask that question, why? Why can't I have what I want? Why can't I? Does Allah not like me? Does Allah not love me? When you want something really bad, you don't get it? Is it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love me? But if we do that, that's a trap. Because in ayat it says, don't get in despair over the good things, the desirable things that pass you by, but don't become overjoyed when Allah gives it to you. So there's this balance that the believer is always struggling for. It's a jihad. It truly is a jihad and a struggle to keep that balance. So that if Allah gives it to us, we don't say, yeah, I got it. And then we start to think it was because of something that I did. Because think about the saga, the event. In the midst of the event, we do what? We use all of our intelligence. We're trying to make it happen. Allah gave us intelligence. Gave us the ability to think and deduce, plan and plot, whatever. We have it. So we use it. No matter what it is, we use it. Then, if it happens, quite naturally, as a human being, we want to say, yeah, I did it. I made it happen. And often, sometimes, we forget that it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all. On the other side, when we're struggling to make it happen, and it doesn't happen, we often become sad. Allah doesn't, we're not alone. Remember in the story when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif? And the long story short, they threw rocks at him and stoned him and ran him out of Taif. And he ran to some shelter under some shade and place when the kids stopped throwing rocks at him and bleeding. And he asked Allah. He said, oh Allah, are you displeased with me? This is important because all human beings ask this question. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked this question. Oh Allah, are you displeased with me? Why? Because as human beings, we want to equate so-called success and failure, that if we're successful, Allah loves me. If we fail in it, oh, Allah's mad at me, it doesn't love me. But that's erroneous. In the spiritual world, it's a bad supposition. It's invalid. The two are not related. When we get what we desire, it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us a lot. Or does it love us a lot? When we don't get what we desire, it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with us or doesn't like us. We're on the low end of the list of the believers. It doesn't mean that. But that's the struggle. It's hard not to get locked into that and think that that mindset, that thinking pattern is valid. It's an intellectual lie. Our brain, our mind has told us a lie. But it's in there. And we deal with it as though the lie is real. Just as Shaitan, when he told Adam alayhi salam and his wife, eat of this tree. If you eat from this tree, it'll give you some knowledge superior to any that you don't have, that Allah doesn't want you to have. That was a thought, and it was in their brain. It was a lie. We know it was a lie. the supposition that Shaitan presented to them was a lie. But as it went into the brain and the brain processed it, something about our brains makes us think that something that we imagine is real. And they thought, wow, let's check it out. And then another reality came to them. So if you follow me, you see, the brain, the mind lies to us. It lies to us. The reality, if you think about it, our whole supposition as Muslims and believers is what? That this life right now, here we are, sounds to everything, is temporary and not real. It's nothing. That's what theologically we all have agreed, everybody in this room that said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, we have said we believe that. That this life of this world is but play and amusement, it's temporary at best, and it's nothing. That the life after death is the real life. But the mind won't let us really, really live that every day. It lies to us every day because we said, this is real. I'm touching it. I see you. I hear you. These thoughts that I'm thinking are real. But the whole position of Islam says it's not. It's only a test. It's not the true reality. So what's real and what's not real? If we allow the mind to make a determination of what's real and not real, we'll go astray. We'll make a lot of bad mistakes. But if we rely upon the truth of Quran, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, just imagine if Allah hadn't given us Quran and we don't have some type of glimpse or understanding of this saga, we'll be like all the other believers. Some of us are. We struggle hard to make things happen so we have a bigger house and a bigger car and this and that, and then we die. And somebody else gets it. So what was all that hard work for? The big house, the fat car, and somebody else got it. Doesn't make sense if you really analyze it. But on the other hand, the other confusing part is we can't be lazy and lay up all day and do nothing. We gotta work. Work is part of ibadah. So you see that balance, that struggle. Too much, not enough. Too much, not enough. What is the mind telling us? Without the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have nothing but a continuing mental fantasy and lie coming from our brains. Because the true reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whomsoever He wills in whatever measure that He desires. We make dua. The du'as, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't necessarily give to us. For us, this is acute in my mind for the last few weeks for reliving the struggle of my brother Abu Isa, JD, whose wife had been in the hospital 6 weeks. We're all praying every time the text comes up on the phone, I'm looking at it, is it worse, or is it better, is it worse, or is it better, making du'a. Looking at him living that continuous saga every day. Is his wife going to live? Is she going to die? His son, who's like a son to me, I've known him ever since he's been in the world. Is she going to live? Is she going to die? We're all making dua. Our desire is what? That she lives. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nothing can happen on this whole earth, deep in ourselves, except that it is already written as in a book before it came into existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew the outcome. We had our desire. We prayed, We prayed, we made dua, and she died. That was the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The test becomes, because all of us are going to have a loved one that dies, most of us have already had loved ones that died. And if you're still here, you're going to have some more loved ones that died. That's the rules of living. You could like it or not like it. You could accept it or not accept it. That's the rules. So as a believer, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the pain of the rules that He's laid down in this dunya for us? The way that He eases the pain is that He's given us some knowledge of what is this saga all about. Is it all about winning and losing? Happiness and sadness, living and dying, sickness, health, is it just that? If it's only about that, then it's unbearable. It's unbearable. And when it becomes unbearable, the human being, mind, starts to lie to it more. You need a drink. You need to hit the joint. You need something to ease the pain, because it's unbearable. Some are addicted to just having more money. The more stuff I get, the more acceptable and bearable this dunya is. Because I don't care how much money you have, you know what? You're going to die. Your children are going to die. Your wife is going to die. Your pet dog is going to die. Everything's going to die. And that hurt and that pain is going to be there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the believer some knowledge, a glimpse into the mystery of it all. I was studying the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I came across in studying, you know how you study something several times, every time, the next time you study it, you get like a different perspective. I came across Al-Latif. And in an explanation of Al-Latif, in one of them, the little short one, it says, the subtle one. I was with it, the subtle one. That's not feeling that. I was studying Al-Ghazali's book on the 99 names, and he defined Al-Latif as the one who understands the finest mysteries. So I dwelled on that a moment. And I thought, wait a minute. There are no mysteries to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are there? There's no Allah. There are no mysteries. The mystery is only to the creature. So we have a mystery. Why did it happen? Why did it happen this way? Why did it happen that way? Why? That's the mystery to us. But Al-Latif is the one who created the mystery for His creature to say there's a mystery. Why am I here? Why am I too tall? Why am I too short? Why am I big and fat? Why am I skinny? Why am I black? Why am I white? Why am I Arab? Why? Why am I in America? Why? It's the mystery. But it is not a mystery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created the situation and circumstance and understands it all, because why He created it before it was even in existence. So there are no mysteries to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mysteries are to us, the creatures. And the iman comes in by us saying, it's a mystery to me, but la ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, I know that Allah knows and understands the mystery, and my job is to what? To be patient and to accept that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon me as a test in this dunya, because I know it really isn't going to last that long. And those of us who are over 50 and pushing 60, and some in this room were even older than that, we know really not going to be that much longer. Therefore, reality can't be about the mind lying to us and telling us to be afraid of death. If we're afraid of death, we've missed the whole point of Islam. If we waste the life of this world without understanding the struggle and the balance therein, we wasted the whole life. Because the whole life is about that struggle to keep the balance. Not being sad when we don't get what we want. Not being elated when we get what we want. But knowing that it is all from our Lord. And that saying, I'll tell you about the saying in the second part of the khutbah. It's getting late. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on me and all of us and guide us all ever closer to the starry light. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك نبي أمي وعلى آله وسلم. In conclusion, my beloved brothers and sisters, ayat in the Quran says, the ayat of the tragedies, of the calamities. And we say, when we hear about calamity or tragedy, whether it's for someone else or ourselves, we say, from Allah we come from, and to Allah is our return. Everybody says that. But that statement is so deep. So deep. That is truly beyond the realm of our comprehension. Part of it, because not all of it, part of it is this. When we say from Allah we come from, what it really means is we belong to Allah. We are His property. We are His slaves. He does with us whatever He chooses to do with us. We belong to Him. We belong to Him. You can like it or not like it. But we belong to Him. We're His property. We're His creation. So whatever He does with us, alhamdulillah, mashallah. That's the difficulty in the saga. To truly, 100% wholly accept that we don't even belong to ourselves. We belong to Allah. We came from Him. We shall be returned to Him. We are never separated from Him. For Allah says in Quran, twice has He given us death, and twice has He given us life. Death, life, death, life. In that order. Has there not been a long period over mankind when He was nothing, not even a thing mentioned? Surely Allah created Him from a drop of mingled sperm in order to try Him. Deep words. So when we say from Allah we come from, we acknowledging we're the property, we're, He owns us. To Him we shall return. We never left Him. We're always with Allah. In the end, if we go to the hellfire, it's His hellfire. If we go to Jannah, it's His Jannah. Oh Allah, don't put me in Your hellfire. Let me in Your Jannah. Because it's His. There's no way to get around it. The believers, we say that we believe that. The unbelievers reject it, but it doesn't matter because that true reality from the mind, the freedom from the mind lying to them, that'll come into true existence and fruition in time also. But for us, we say it And the struggle is to truly comprehend the gravity of that statement, those statements. From Allah we come from, to Him we shall return. When we truly understand and comprehend the gravity of that statement, then, as the ayah continues, Rahmah descends upon them, surrounds them, envelops them, and whatever calamity that we endure, that the mind has told us it's a calamity, whatever it is, becomes tolerable, it becomes acceptable, it becomes easier to deal with, and it is dealt with by the believer. That's what it is. And the more and the better, the more clarity that we have in the understanding of it, the easier it gets. For a believer, when they hear of death, they don't go, "Ah, he's dead." How can a believer do that? "Oh, I was expecting that. When is my turn? When is my son's turn? When is my father's turn? When is my mother's turn?" That's the reality that the mind doesn't want us to allow itself to wrap around on a daily basis as a reality. That death is near. That all of this dunya is simply temporary, a test, ephemeral, and fleeting. It's all it is. Notwithstanding, it seems pretty real when you knock on the wood and you feel yourself, and it's I feel real. But that's the struggle. That's the jihad inside of every human being, whether they admit it or not. Whether they admit it or not. The worst denier of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. He didn't create the sun. He didn't create the galaxies. And nothing else. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in conclusion, if they all got together, they couldn't even create a fly. Not even a fly, a mosquito, an ant. Every creature is phenomenal in its own right. As a creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we are a creature, there's a creator-created relationship. And alhamdulillah, He has given us some knowledge and guidance in Quran al-Kareem to ease the burden of this continuous saga in this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on me and all of us, and guide us all ever closer to His guiding light. O Allah, put the light in front of us and behind us, on our right and on our left, above us and below us, in our hearts and our mind and our whole existence. O Allah, please brighten our faces on the day that some of the faces will be blackened with gloom and shame. O Allah, so order us that we may be grateful for the gifts and the blessings which You have bestowed upon us and our families, and that we may work righteousness that will please You, and admit us, O Lord, by Your rahmah to the ranks of Your righteous servants. And O Allah, please unite us and all of our family members in the religion of Islam, and let us all die as Muslims. Truly, O Lord, that is the great victory. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum.